Do we live in crazy times? Yes, we do. Should we be completely surprised? No, we should not. We have God's Word that teaches us many things. The time we're living in, you know, the virus that we've been dealing with is a pestilence, always sent by God. All pestilence are sent by God as a judgment, and we can quit saying God's going to judge America. The judgment began years ago with the great move of the Sodomites in our society, and when people knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness. That's judgment from God. And those who change the truth of God into a lie and worship the creation or the creature more than the Creator are judged that way by God. When they know God, when they've been blessed by the grace of God so much as we have in this country. Now we have the George Floyd killing saga that's going on in our country, and protesters, amazingly, who are wearing designer backpacks and carrying iPhones and expensive sneakers, rioting in the streets and looting, burning down our cities, all in the name of social justice and racial reconciliation, and all types of people involved in that, you know, and all types of institutions and different organizations changing their policies and traditions all of a sudden, as if there wasn't a large number of black people killed, black young men killed every week in Chicago. They weren't concerned about that, but all of a sudden, you know, it's virtue signaling. And try not to be offended at me until you hear everything I have to say. I'm aware that I haven't had the experiences that some people have that have a shade of skin different than mine. I get that, as they are of me, unaware about me and my heart. But I am aware that there are experiences that people have. And we have 325 million people in this nation. I can't know everybody's heart, but I do know there's different situations that we need to be sensitive to. I'm not unaware or unsensitive to people's experiences, to the evils of racism, and it is evil. Although we are all one race, and the church should be pronouncing that and teaching that and proclaiming that, that we all go back to the Tower of Babel, and God confounded the languages, therefore ended up with different ethnic groups, but we all in the church for certain should be one. Again, that's where the Lord actually has unity in diversity, is in the Lord's church. So we of all people should understand these things. Not everyone does understand that, though. So racism has no place in the church. Therefore, I want to make an appeal to you today to look beyond the white, the black, look beyond conservative or liberal, look beyond your frustration with an unthankful society willing to burn it to the ground just to get their way. And by the way, what happens if you give a spoiled child everything they ask for? You're going to get more of it. And I get that. But look, try this morning to look beyond any frustration you have with that, and our leaders being willing to placate spoiled brats that are never going to be satisfied. Look beyond the truth that there are evil people who hate because of skin color, just for a moment, because both of those things are true. Look beyond socialism, capitalism, all these different, and I can't believe that we're talking about socialism and communism in the United States of America, but we are. Look beyond Donald Trump, look beyond weak-kneed Republicans and insane Democrats. Look beyond even your love of country and patriotism for a moment this morning. And allow me, if you will, to simply make a number of comments this morning to try to bring our thoughts in line with a biblical view of the times that we live in and to make an appeal to you for the gospel. First of all, I would say don't allow the media, the culture, social media, politicians to draw you into a trap of being offended simply as an American citizen, no matter what side of any of the issues you're on, to be offended as an American citizen without looking at these things through biblical lenses. Neither allow them to influence you into thinking that our problem that we face in our society is primarily skin color, because it is not. I have enough sense to know when some liberal college professors teaching that I have a bias towards people of different shades of skin simply because of their skin color, that they are making the same unfounded generalization towards me. And they have no idea. I get that. I see that. It's hypocrisy. And I also can't deny, though, the evil and the hatred that exists. It's there, and it's ugly. But as a church, we can't fall into the social justice trap one way or the other. There is no end to the injustice in which we would have to fight politically and externally in all different manners. What we understand from God's word is that we live in a fallen, sinful, corrupted world. All of us. We live in a fallen world. We live in a society that is fallen in sin. A society, a world of inequity and injustice. This world is fallen in just that way. Injustice is a byproduct of a fallen world and society. We live in a world so corrupted by sin that the Lord commands His people to love your fellow man. We need to be told that. And then we need the Holy Spirit to give us the grace to do it. Fallen human nature is apt to hate, to envy, to hurt, to exercise malice towards anyone who is perceived to be the least bit different than us. That's human nature. Notice our text. This is the truth of the matter, the heart of the matter. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? And he's talking about all people groups in the world, nationalities, nations, kindreds, and tongues, all the Gentiles, all the Jews. He says here in verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. What's our problem, brethren? It's a sin problem. It's a sin problem. And we need to preach on sin. It's sin. Our society is corrupted with sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. That levels the playing field, doesn't it? It doesn't matter who you are, what background you come from, what culture you come from, what shade of skin you have. We are all under sin. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You say, well, I was seeking God my whole life before I found. No, you wouldn't. God sought you, or you'd have never sought Him. It's the grace of God that any of us are saved. And no matter where we come from, it's the grace of God that any of us. It's not amazing that God wouldn't save some. It's amazing He'd save one. That's the understanding of the grace of God. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. You understand, as I said in my prayer earlier, we're not doing God a favor by being in the house of God. We're unprofitable servants of God. Well, if He doesn't work anything through us, we're not going to work anything. All we can give back to Him, all we can give to Him is what He's given to us, and we give it back. And that's for every single person ever born in the history of the world. It's the same truth for us all. We're all gone out of the way, altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And what that means is relative to where God is satisfied and pleased with it, you can't do enough good. God sees us fallen in Adam, and without Christ, we have no hope. We're fallen in Adam. God doesn't accept our works. I'm thankful in the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, that even the plowing of the wicked is sin. And God doesn't even accept the very best works of the best unsaved, unregenerate person. But me, as a believer in Jesus Christ, on my worst day, He sees Christ. That's the difference. And without him, we're hopeless. Every last one of us are hopeless. This levels the playing field for all. Therefore, the whole idea of racism should be foreign to the Lord's church. Absolutely foreign. Although the Bible teaches that, we're all one race. Different shades of colors, but we all go back to the same place. And the church is the institution where the Lord tore down the walls of partition and brought the people back together. Now, just a side note, I don't want to get too far off on a soapbox on this, but you understand when God separated the nations at the Tower of Babel, he did the church a favor. Because if there wasn't different nations, it'd all be one world and they would already persecute us and stomped us out. God knows what he's doing. But he brings all the people of the world back together in the church. For us, we don't see it that way. All we see is people in need of Christ. People in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, every last one of us. And we need to toe that line. We don't have any other agenda. We don't get involved in anything else. We stand up for Christ. I'm not saying not to be a good citizen, not to vote, not to speak out with your opinion. I have plenty of those. But primarily, we continue on. If you're not continuing on the gospel, sharing the gospel, concerned about everyone's soul that you hear about, talk about, think about, come in contact with, then you have no business talking about politics. We're Christians, saved by the grace of God with the Bible. We have a mission, a commission. We have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can really save this world? And the only thing that really can save this world. We live in a corrupted world. It levels the playing field. And we're all the same in that sense. Prejudice against other ethnic groups has no place among God's people. In heaven, God's people will certainly be all together tonight. In Revelation chapter 5, we see there in Revelation chapter 5, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people standing before the throne, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, out of every country and language, ethnic group, tribe. We shouldn't live contrary to that now. That's where we're headed. And I'm not saying to force integration upon churches. I mean, God has to do that. We should be so welcoming and so loving to anyone. It doesn't matter. But you want God to do it. It has to be organic. I understand that. I don't believe in forcing it, but we need to be open. We need to be a people that the least racist people on the planet should be Gentiles for sure that are saved by the grace of God. By the way, we're all Gentiles if we're not Jews. So these are the things I want to bring up. Equality in the kingdom of God. There should be no problem worshiping and living among other ethnic groups. If you have a problem with that as a Christian, you have a problem. Because you look at the Lord chastised Aaron and Miriam. What for? Moses married an Ethiopian woman. They got mad about it. The Lord gave her leprosy. What are you going to do with that? I've had people ask me about, what do you think about interracial marriage? First of all, I say we're all the same anyway because we're all Gentiles. But I say Moses did it, and there's nothing the Bible says you shouldn't do it. Doesn't matter how you're raised or what you think, it doesn't teach that. So we're all one. Matter of fact, I teach the opposite. I'm not saying you should go and on purpose do it. I'm just saying we should not be the least bit concerned about the color of somebody's skin. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the soul of a person. There should be no problem with anything like that in the Lord's church. And just think again of the heavenly scene I talked about of all nation, kindred, tongues, and people. And then we pray for God's will to be done on earth as it isn't done in heaven. And we want that same thing. We need to be settled in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the truth of God's word. And we're to be wise as serpent and harmless as doves. And even in the midst of we don't get thrown off by chaos in the world. We expect it. It's what the Bible teaches people will do. Sinners will be that way. The Lord's church should not be reactionary to every little thing, like a fish on a lure chasing off something shiny over here and over there. We have a commission with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the answer to societal woes is not social justice, either side, any way. It's deeper than that. With Christ, we're all, every one of us, no matter who we are, where we come from, we're all in conflict with God and with each other if we don't have the grace of God in our life. There's enmity between people and enmity between us and God without the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is the institution that is the pillar and the ground of the truth. So, without getting too much into, you know, out of the word or anything, I want the word to teach us this. But the truth about this, the George Floyd killing, which was terrible, is there was an evil man with a soul that killed another sinful man with a soul. Nobody wants to say that. That's the fact. It was an evil man, doesn't matter what his color is, that killed another sinful man, and both of them have souls. And life is precious. It doesn't matter whose it is. It's precious. That's the biblical perspective. And let me ask you this. Have you heard anyone ask if George Floyd was saved? Anyone concerned whether the man knew the Lord or not? It's the first thing I thought of. I hadn't heard anybody say anything about it. Just think about it. The church is about souls. Don't get caught up. We're about the souls of people. The world looks at things differently than we do. It's the soul that matters. Every soul matters. Eternal life is what matters in the church. And we in the church understand that Abraham is the father of many nations. And among God's people, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. No one is more superior than any other person. And you're all one in Jesus Christ. And we toe that line no matter what's going on around us. We don't let ourselves get offended going this direction or offended going that direction. And if you want to know my politics, I'll tell you clearly, I'm somewhere right of Rush Limbaugh. But I still have a Bible. And I can't be guided by my politics. I let the Word of God guide everything about my life. Everything about my life. Whatever the Word of God teaches. Notice Acts chapter 10, if you would, please. Acts chapter 10, Brother Dean Robinson has been doing a great job in Sunday school on the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." You realize that? God doesn't look at a person and say, "Oh, you're something special. Or you're something because you're different this way or that way." He doesn't see it that way. "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." It doesn't matter. Nation, that's nationality, ethnic groups. It doesn't matter with God. It doesn't matter. If you come to Christ, you trust in Jesus Christ, you serve the living God, he accepts you. And by the way, that's because he did a work in your heart. But you move over to Acts chapter 13, notice verse 47. Verse 47. "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation," what? "Unto the ends of the earth." What's our business? Salvation to the ends of the earth. Wherever there's people with a heart beating, we tell them about Christ and we want their soul saved. And that's our business. And there's nobody else that has that commission but us. There's plenty of people to entertain people. There's plenty of people to have social justice, you know, war with one another. There's plenty of people to preach politics and to deal with all those issues. There's one entity commissioned with the gospel, and that's the church of the living God. That's our business. That's what we're about. And no one else has that. That's what we should be all about. Romans 15, if you'll notice here with me. Romans 15, verse 5. Notice this, Romans 15, beginning in verse 5. Paul's telling the church, by the way, the Roman church had all different ethnic groups in it. Rome was a hub of people coming and going from everywhere. All types of people in the Roman church. In verse 5, it says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another." What? Just force yourself to be all the same? No, according to Christ Jesus. Because in Christ, we have commonality. In Christ, we have the same heart. The law of God's been put on our heart. We have a desire to love one another. We have a desire for other people's souls. And he says that you might with one mind, with one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're called upon by God. No matter who we are, where we come from, what our culture, what our ethnic background is, what color of our skin or the shade of our skin is, it doesn't matter. We're to be one in Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. The same way Christ saved you is the way you're to receive other people, no matter the shade of their skin. The same way He saved you and loved you and received you. We got to get past that. We got to stand on these truths. And that he says in verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promise made unto the fathers that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And that's all of us here today, Gentiles. As it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again, he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. We all need to rejoice together that the God is so merciful to send the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's all of us. Among God's people, there shouldn't be any of these differences. See, for God's people, it is when we lose sight of our identity in Christ that we start to identify as different ethnic groups, different classes of people. When we do that, we're losing sight of our identity being in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we gravitate towards making ourselves, obviously, the most important thing that exists. We are identified in Jesus Christ. Christ himself, we're to be like him. We're identified in him. He took on the form of a servant, gave his life for all people. What do you think that means? Not all people without exception, all people without distinction. That's the idea. For God so loved the world, all people without distinction of ethnic background. The Lord Jesus Christ did. That's supposed to be us. We're commissioned to go into all the world with the gospel. And those, to those, whatever shade of skin, who believe, we baptize them and we bring them into fellowship and we teach them. We're the light of the world. And let's not ask the wrong questions and allow other people to do that and look for the answers in the wrong places. What I'm telling you, do not follow the politicians, the media, the experts, many of the religious leaders of our day that have gone off half-cocked trying to appease people are angry that their personal opinion's been offended. We do not need to be deceived as God's people. Let me shift gears, having said that, just for a moment and give you an example. The leaders of one of the largest denominational groups in this country recently put out a statement regarding George Floyd's death, and this is what they said. Let me just give you a good example, and hold on with me here. As a convention of churches committed to the equality and dignity of all people, this group, Southern Baptists, grieve the death of George Floyd, which is perfectly fine. While all must grieve, we understand that in the hearts of our fellow citizens of color, incidents like these connect to a long history of unequal justice in our country, going back to the grievous Jim Crow and slave eras. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. I'm against Jim Crow 100%. I'm against the slave era. I think it's all wicked, and I stand with them 100%. Anybody that wants to be equal, we all should be equal. That's my whole point of my message this morning. To speak to our fellow citizens of color is one of the most condescending things I think I've ever heard in my life. And you got to hold on with me. It sounds really good. But as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, what are they saying? It's a form of inequity to even say that. Because in the church, there's no place for it. It's actually, and I know it's good-hearted, and I get that, but it's actually, to me, it's an insult for the leadership of this group to be claiming to be a separate group from anyone that isn't white. You know what the problem is? The problem is they're getting outside of their lane in the first place. That's not our area. Go run for office or something, or go stand up as a particular political group if you want to do that. And as an individual, that's fine. But representing Christ in the gospel, there is no scripture in this whole statement that they sent out. And that's just where we are today. Everybody's reactionary. You gotta say something, gotta get something out there. And I get it when the NFL does it, or Republicans or Democrats or corporations, you know, do these kind of things. And it's amazing though how one group will speak for a whole other group. It's just amazing to me. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ should always be gospel, 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 gospel. And the church is to perpetuate racism and to separate everything out and not preach the gospel to people. See, we're all different shades, and I keep saying we're the same. Look at that with me in Acts chapter 17, if you would. And I know I'm towing a hard line. You say, well, you're being narrow-minded. Hey, brother, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Apostle Paul's preaching on Mars Hill, and he wisely took up that unknown God that they worship. So let me tell you about him. He's the creator God. And he says in verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. All the nations, ethnic groups, are of one blood. We all go back to Adam. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. By the way, whatever's going on in your life, where you are, that's where God put you. And the bounds of your habitation, where you are at that time, God put you there. God set that. But he made us all out of one. One blood, every nation. Skin doesn't have a morality. Ethnicity has nothing to do with the heart of people and their problems. The heart of the problem is the heart of the people. The enmity, the sinfulness. Ethnicity does not sin. Hearts sin. Ethnicity cannot be reconciled. It's a heart problem. And that's the message of the church. When the hearts are right, then the skin doesn't matter. Ephesians chapter 2, notice here if you would. And if you say, well, you're attacking people, I'm attacking both sides with the gospel. We pierce through the confusion with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Here's the message to the church. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Those that didn't have opportunity for Christ, now the gospel's gone into all the world. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What's he mean, both one? All the people of the world in the church, they come together under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're one. And by the way, they're all one anyway, out of one blood. But then all the differences and the enmity is erased in the church. It's the only true place where you're going to find that. The world promises that they'll never give it. Only in the gospel do we have it. We have this wonderful blessing of fellowship. And he says in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Notice this, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. What's he talking about? Bringing the people of God together. A whole new, what is this talking about? A whole new people group. What? Out of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. A spiritual people whose souls are saved, who worship the Lord Jesus Christ and give their life to him. Our job, our mission is to go and to bring people into that. That's what we are, that's what we're about. And he says that he might reconcile both in, notice this, unto God in one body by the cross. What's that body? It's not talking about Christ's body right there. It's in the cross that it happened, but he reconciles us in the body, the church. People are reconciled together in the church. One Lord, one body. He's talking about the church. We're brought together by the cross into the church, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you which are afar off and them which are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. All the people have the same access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. I don't know. I can't believe I even have to preach that. But I feel like we're in a day that that needs to be, we need to realize it and get our bearings back. This is what we're about. Our problems aren't new problems. You say, oh boy, look at all these. No, they're flared up, but they're not new problems. And new solutions aren't going to work. The problem of hatred goes back to Cain and Abel. It's the same as it was with Cain and Abel. It's exactly the same thing. And Christ was the only answer then, and Christ is the only answer now. And our media and our politicians and some of our religious leaders are really just wanting, seems like to me, to be virtuous and pick a side. All of a sudden they have to do this. And by the way, does it not seem like to you that 2 Thessalonians 2, where God's going to send a strong delusion, where people believe a lie, is not being fulfilled in our society? Because it doesn't matter which side of these issues you come down, everybody's looking at a lie. It's all just lies. It's amazing. Everybody lying on each other. And people believe some of the craziest stuff. Trying to be accepted. It's trying to be accepted. We're not trying to be accepted. We know that what we have is offensive to the natural man. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But trying to be virtuous and look virtuous is never going to save one soul. So still I ask, was George Floyd a Christian? Is that what matters, or is there anything else matter? When you boil it down, that's what matters. And the other side of the coin, no matter your shade of skin, again, without the grace of God, it would be you with your knee on somebody's neck choking the life out of them. You realize that? Without the grace of God, you'd be George Floyd. Just skin it all down. These are the truths. How many people in our society are examining their own heart, looking at all these things going on around us? It's a heart issue. There will never be a social solution to a spiritual problem. And this is the church's message. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all people. We stay in our lane. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of salvation to all people. All over the world, Jesus is the only name whereby we must be saved. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other message, no other group with an agenda more powerful, more important than what we have. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can't allow the culture to define what we think or control our opinions. We let the Word of God interpret all the events around us. And the gospel, with a move of the Holy Spirit working in people's hearts, is the only way any change is going to be made. You realize that. The only answer for our society is the gospel. It's the same answer that it's always been. God's people praying. Asking God to do a mighty work, starting with their local church, with their personal testimony, that God would work and move. That's the only answer. You can do all these peripheral things you want to do. It's not going to work. It's always going to come back to the same thing, evil hearts doing evil things. But the only answer to really curing the societal's ills is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ needs Christ. Everyone that hasn't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ needs the church to tell them about the cross, that the Savior came from glory. He was born of a virgin. He lived on this sin-cursed earth without any sin in himself, and he suffered. He gave his life. He took the form of a servant. He served. He took his life all the way to Calvary. He was nailed there like an animal. He bled and he died for the sins of wicked people. That includes you. It includes me. And he was buried in a borrowed grave because he wasn't staying there very long, and he rose up on the third day with all power in his hand, and he's a victorious Savior, and he's the answer to eternity, which is what really matters, and one day we're all going to realize that. A biblical view of things tells us that our present circumstances are due to evil hearts of wicked men on all different sides of issues, all in need of grace, all in need of God in their life, all in need of the gospel, all in need of salvation if they don't know Christ yet. And God's people need to be reminded, we rest, brethren. We rest. One thing is going to help you more than anything not to be tossed to and fro around. Something happens, I got to change my opinion about this, or I got to get all riled up. I'm not saying not to take the side of good on every issue you can and give your opinion. I'm not saying that. But when you boil it down, brethren, we rest in the sovereignty of God. God is in control. What would you do if you didn't think God was in control? He's in control of everything. There's nothing happening that he's not overseeing, that's not providential by his hand. So we don't just run off like a bass on a lure with this issue or that issue. We stay in our lane. We preach the gospel because we know that the salvation of souls is more important than anything else going on around us. And we're the only people with the message. And if we don't tell it, it's not going to be told. And this deal with George Floyd is a perfect example. You can search the media. I haven't seen it. Now, I'm not out there as much as other people, but I haven't seen anybody concerned about his soul. Where's God's people on this matter? You stand up and say, hey, what matters is the soul of all the people involved.
All the people involved have precious souls that if you die without Christ, you go into eternal hell. That's the message because of sin. And with Christ, you have eternal bliss and joy and eternal life. How could anything else compare to the message that we have about the Lord Jesus Christ? All things are working, brethren, for our good, so we have peace. All things, no matter what it is. We don't say que sera, like we don't care. We care about souls. But we don't have to lose our mind in the midst of chaos and get thrown off of our agenda, which is the Great Commission, to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let not your heart be troubled. You say, well, that scripture is really good, except for in times like this. No, that's perfectly for a time like this. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go, I go and prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas says, show us the way. He said, you know the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's our message. That's the message of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go into all the world, and we preach the gospel to every creature. And those who believe the gospel message, regardless of skin shade, regardless of cultural heritage, we baptize them, bring them into the fellowship of the church, and we teach them all the things that Jesus Christ commanded. You say, what else do we do? Then we go into all the world and we preach the gospel to every creature. And those that receive the gospel message out of whatever nation, kindred, tongues, or people they come from, we baptize them and receive them in fellowship of the church, and we teach them all the things that Christ commanded. And you say, well, what else do we do? We go into all the world, we preach the gospel to every creature, and every person that receives the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever believes on him has eternal life, and based on their faith, we baptize them into the church of the living God, and we teach them all the things commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you do next? You preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation for a people, for a nation, for anything. You say, what's the answer? The gospel. What's the problem? Doesn't matter. We're all about Christ, and that's all we're about. You understand that, right? The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. That I might win Christ. He rises above every single thing. He's what matters to us. You say, I love my country. I do too. I have a great desire. I do too. I get riled up just like you, and I got it. I get it, and I want my children to have the blessings that I've had, and I hate to see our country fall apart. I hate it, but I have enough sense to know that this experiment in the United States of America is not the norm for God's people. This is an extraordinary blessing, and I want to keep it, but I'm not sure the Lord's going to let us. The Lord's judgment's upon us. And there comes some point where we have to stand with God and say, Lord, I recognize that what you do is right. Lord, please, grant us revival. Please, save our children. Please, put a hedge of protection around us. Nevertheless, we stand with you. We stand with you. And we recognize that that's not our comfort's not the primary purpose for our existence. Our primary purpose for our existence is to be conformed to the image of Christ and spread the gospel around the world. I think I made that point. And we live for Christ. All out. We're living in a time when the Lord's sifting. He's sifting. Who's going to stand for the Lord? Who's going to stand for truth? We're going to find out. We're going to find out. Who's going to stand for the truth? And I'm afraid there's a lot of folks, when the going gets tough, they get going. And we'll find out. And I pray that God gives us the grace as a church to stand up for the truth. You say, how do I do it? Don't lose sight of Christ. Don't lose sight of your identities in Christ. What our mission is. What our message is. What's our worldview? Our worldview is that all men are fallen in sin and need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we live in a fallen world. We don't have to look at a situation and go, man, I just wonder how that happened. You have wicked, sinful people. That's how it happens. And they need the Lord. This is our business. This is our perspective. No matter how offended we are about injustices, which I am just like you, and I see so many nuances and different sides and people that are ridiculous on every side. I get it. We cut right through it all with the gospel. If we will just stand for the gospel, trust me, you'll have enough time, enough things to do. You'll run out of time doing that in this world. You know, you won't have to do anything else. If you'll stand for Christ, you won't have to worry about anything else. We have injustices. We want to be patriotic. I get it. It's all confusing. It all seems to be stretching us and pulling us and forcing us to places we don't want to go. But the truth is, the church must march on. We sang Marching to Zion. The church marches on. We have the promise. We're the only institution on earth that has a promise. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. We can do it. The church is going to be here when the Lord gets back. You know that, right? Now, you and I may not be here, but the church will be here. We may go on and be with the Lord, but there will be someone here doing it. If we don't do it, the Lord's going to get somebody else to do it. He's going to gather in his sheep. I want to be involved in that. We shouldn't talk to other people about current events without mentioning Christ. We shouldn't be involved in any of these things without talking about sin and Christ. And I think I'm guilty of getting pulled off, being indignant. I don't like that, or look at that. When the truth is, I should be saying, look at the hearts of those poor people. Hearts of the poor people, they need the gospel. And if it weren't for the grace of God, we'd say, there go I. I am what I am by the grace of God. And I can tell you that by the grace of God, I ought to be a lot better than I am. That's the way we ought to look at it. That's the way we ought to be. So, Romans chapter 3, in closing, here's the truth of the matter. Verse 9, are we better than they? Any of us superior to any other person? No, in no wise. We're all under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. How much righteousness do you have of your own? What is your righteousness? It's like filthy rags. So is mine. And when will it stop being filthy rags? Never. The only righteousness we have is the righteousness of Christ, and I want to be found in his righteousness. Not my own, because mine's filthy rags. And there's none that understandeth, and none that seeketh after God. So what's that mean? The church needs to be seeking them. We need to be seeking them. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And there's still lost ones out there, or he'd be back by now. So we're seek them. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together come unprofitable. And they're not doing any good. And they're doing just exactly what the Bible says they would do. And what do they need? They need the gospel message. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I hope I'm not too alarming to you today on some of the things I said. I know provocative. I do. I get it. But my main point is I want you to be reminded that the commission, our job, our mission, what we're given to do is to preach the gospel. We had the Holy Spirit come inside of us, transform us, give us eternal life. We never die. When this body dies, we go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's so profound that everything else should fade into the distance. And we should live like the Apostle Paul, counting all things loss for Christ. And we should look at other people. I'm not saying we don't punish evildoers. Of course, we want justice in our justice system, and we want things done right, and we have a heart for our nation. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying when we look at a situation, no matter what it is, if we don't primarily see souls in need of grace, then we're not looking at it right. If we don't primarily see the need of the gospel in people's lives, and we don't look at a situation and say, that person must be lost, he needs Christ. He needs Christ. We should do that before we complain about anything. Because that's what we were saved. We should want everyone else to be saved, no matter who they are. That's our mission, the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you've given us in the Word. Help us, Father. We get so riled up about things that ultimately, they will not matter in eternity. I know that they're important to us in the moment. And I know we have things we have to deal with, and a society has to have law and order. But at the same time, we have to have compassion. We need to be